This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We've all had a fantasy of being the hero in a storybook, and as films like Black Panther and Crazy Rich Asians have shown, seeing someone like yourself represented in media is incredibly powerful and important. This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and today I'm speaking to Warren Liao, the founder of a startup called Amazing Fables that allows your child to literally become the hero of their own story. Clearly, I think this is a great idea, and I think this is so important and lovely and wonderful. So thank you so much, Warren, for coming in and speaking to us all about it today.
Thank you so much for inviting me to the show, Christine.
Yeah, all right. So I guess, first of all, how did you come up with the idea for Amazing Fables?
Okay, so I've always wanted to encourage kids to read, because when I was a child, reading opened up different windows of exploration into different worlds, right? So I came across this idea because there's a British company which appeared on Shark Tank, and they've been very successful with one of the titles. And I thought, hey, what about the prospects of actually localizing it to the context over here,
mm-hmm.
right? And telling my versions of the story, but allowing the kids to personalize their names and gender and avatar and also the dedication message within the books themselves. So that was the principal inspiration and motivation. And it has always been on my bucket list to actually start writing a book. And then lo and behold, over the course of the past 12 months, I've somehow managed to publish about 8 books.
Yay. I mean, that's always really great. And I love the idea that you got it from Shark Tank, because it's kind of like nice to see. In a way, it's kind of like an entrepreneur inspiring another entrepreneur, even though they don't even know it, which is quite, sweet.
Yeah.
And you, as you've mentioned, you are the person that writes all these stories, and there are a wide variety of them on the website as well. So you started off with the boy or girl, I guess, who colored the world, right?
Yes.
Like, why was that the one you started off with?
The thing was that, I was working on multiple stories simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
because the main constraint when it comes to producing these books wouldn't be the speed at which I could write,
right.
but rather the speed at which my illustrators could actually draw and
gotcha.
Color the pages, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just so happened that, the boy or the girl who colored the world was the first book that was finished.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the first book that was launched.
Right.
But the reality was that, during the first 1 or 2 months, I was literally working on 3 or 4 books simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
There were some steel bonds in the portfolio as well, where I felt that either the story or the illustrations themselves were not good enough. And so they were kept in cold storage.
Mm.
But essentially, everything was moving full steam ahead simultaneously.
Oh, wow. Mm. That sounds very, very stressful. But the content of your books as well, because they're mainly aimed at kids. We'll talk a little bit more about that. They're aimed at ages basically 0 to 12 plus. But the content of the stories tend to deal with things like The Girl Who Colored the World is quite like an inspirational sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you've also got some slightly more, I guess, educational leaning mm-hmm. stuff. You've got the animal adventure book. You've got How Did Life Begin? Talk to me about that. What was the decision behind writing what you wrote?
So actually, there are many personalized books out there, especially from the overseas markets. So when I started Amazing Fables, I wanted to make it a point that my stories want to focus on values and learnings,
mm.
right? And it's not just about having a personalized story for the sake of a personalized story. And so therefore, it was very important to be able to inject different elements of learnings or lessons which the parents can instill or nurture amongst the kids.
Right.
So, for example, the first book that I have, The Boy or the Girl Who Colored the World, it's about exploration. It's about, pushing around the boundaries and be observant about your surroundings,
mm.
because you can find inspiration in every single small thing out there. So this hopefully will inspire kids to actually be a little bit more cognizant of, their immediate surroundings.
Right.
So that, they don't miss out the little things in life.
That's quite nice. I think there's a lot of thought that's been put into these books, because as you mentioned, you could just write The Princess and the Frog and just put in the names and have it done, right? But what does it teach you? What does it bring to these kids, right?
Exactly.
All right. And, you have different illustrators for each book from what I can understand. So what's the process of that? How do you decide who's going to illustrate what? What's the kind of style that you want to come across? How do you even explain in the first place what are the kind of images you'd want to see?
Okay, when I first started Amazing Fables, I knew that it had to be a portfolio approach
mm.
In terms of stories and in terms of styles. The reason being, without having certain data points on which stories would resonate with the audience and which style would resonate with the audience, the only way to try it out is really just to publish and see what happens.
Okay.
Then, right? And I think, instead of having all the books within the portfolio having the same style, having having different styles will also allow, you know, a little bit more flexibility when it comes to different ways of telling the stories for different stories themselves.
Mm. Having looked at the kind of selection of books that you do offer, I do quite like all the different illustrations because I think that they also fit like the style of each story and the content of each story really well.
Exactly, right? So by and large, when I commission a book, what I'll do is that I'll go on Fiverr or seek up some freelancers and ask for their portfolio in order to get your styles. But on the other hand, you know, at the back of my mind, I will also be looking for inspiration on the kind of specific style that I might want to have for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And what I look for is, you know, an easily recognizable style. But on the other hand, you know, it's different by a little bit, you know, from the other books.
Mm.
And then on the other hand as well, you know, it has to be visually striking and vivid,
yeah,
right, in order to captivate the attention.
Mm.
So I think, you know, my experience of hiring the illustrators and designers from all around the world, for example, you know, I've got folks from Italy, from Argentina, from Romania, from Indonesia, and also from the UK, where because of their cultural exposure, you know, the way they frame things will be a bit different as well.
Mm.
So you know, having different positioning, yeah, and different perspectives of how to interpret the stories also lends a little bit of diversity into the whole thing.
Absolutely, you know, and I think that them being able to bring a little bit of their kind of own backgrounds and a little bit of their kind of styles and history into the different illustrations also is so effective and so lovely. And speaking of the illustrations and also, I guess, the content of the books, obviously all the books are customizable. So you go and you choose which gender your child is, and then you write in the name and you select the language as well, from what I can understand.
Yes, we have it translated into 10 different languages.
Okay, so, you know, in line with that, how does the customization process work? Like, you know, the words, I guess, kind of make sense. You just put in the words where, you know, that's applicable, the name and the pronouns. But the illustrations, I really don't understand how you can customize that at all. So.
Okay, so let me explain the process then. From a user experience perspective, yeah, what you do is that you can just go onto a website and you choose the book that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And over there, you enter the name.
Yep.
You choose the avatar that, you know, closely resembles your child.
Mm-hmm.
You customize the message and you can upload a photo, and then you choose a cover, and then you can just order the thing.
Right.
What happens in the back end is that, you know, I've already prepared different templates.
Okay.
So for example, you know, page 3 and page 4 of, you know, the book on dinosaurs.
Mm.
Would have 8 different variations.
Right.
Because, you know, every single variation represents, you know, something which is unique to the particular avatar.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
So, for example, you know, in every book that I commission nowadays, there'll be 4 boys and 4 girls.
Mm-hmm.
The boys would typically be, you know, you have black hair, you have brown hair, you have blonde hair, and also you have, you know, fuzzy hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then the skin tones will be a bit different as well.
Yeah.
Similarly, you know, the same thing applies to, you know, the girl avatars on a parallel basis. Right? Because... when I started Amazing Fables, I always knew that I wanted to be global from day one, right? Hence the reason why the different avatars will need to represent different ethnicities and different forms of you know, how the child could look.
Mm, that's so interesting, you know, and it must be so interesting as well for the illustrators to have to kind of work that into their illustrations as well, right? To have the kind of template of the character avatar and then to work that slowly into each of their backgrounds.
Yes, so that's the beauty of digital illustrations.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, you can have the background on a separate layer
and yes,
avatars on different layers.
Right.
Right? And so you know, basically all of the illustrations that I have are digital illustrations made on Photoshop, you know, with some usage of Illustrator.
Right, I see. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, these stories are mainly for kids. We said earlier that they're aimed at ages 0 to 12 plus. 12 plus, I believe, is a newer one, if I'm not mistaken. That one's a story of escape. Everything else is pretty much 0 to 6, 0 to 4, 3 to 10, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what was the decision behind focusing on just children?
So, let me take a step back again. You know, as I mentioned, you know, I knew that when I started Amazing Fables, we need to have a portfolio approach,
mm-hmm,
in terms of styles, in terms of storylines, in terms of customer segment too.
Right.
So, and therefore, you know, I started with a few books by allocating them to different age groups. So, A Story of Escape was principally commissioned to target let's say, teens and millennials and young adults.
Okay.
Who are trying to find their way in life.
Right.
And I try to understand, you know, how life fits together. What is the meaning of love? You know, what happens when I feel despair?
Mm.
Right. And how can I be certain of what is my true calling in my life?
Right.
Because I think these are messages and these are important lessons for someone growing up or adulting to think about, really.
Yeah.
And these are really universal questions, right? Because, you know, when I was younger, you know, I was asking myself these sort of questions.
Mm.
So, yes, I think in general, you know, when you talk about teens and when you talk about adults, they wouldn't really read kiddie books. Right?
I think you'd be surprised.
Yes.
I think you'd be pleasantly surprised.
Which is why the art style that I have over here, it's a little bit more, adultish.
Yes.
Right? And the main thing is really to allow the readers to find inspiration from the illustrations and the symbolism behind the illustrations themselves.
But so why is everything else for like a younger age group?
Simply because, you know, that's where the vast majority of the market is, right? The reason why I want to commission something for the teens and as well as the millennials is really to test and gauge how big a demand there is,
right?
Without launching a book targeting a particular segment, I wouldn't know how to size it up accordingly.
Gotcha.
But nonetheless, I think, you know, I'll be looking to some adult sections as well. You know, principally, you know, with the possibilities of maybe launching a book for Valentine's.
Oh,
right. So you can order a book for your loved ones.
That would be so cute.
And then you can customize the avatar based on your loved ones. Then.
That's so adorable. Oh, gosh. I'm just this getting all fuzzy right now here in the studio. You know, because I actually had a look at some of the books and I put names in and stuff just to see what it was like. And, you know, looking at like A Story of Escape, especially, that kind of leans a bit more towards the existential and abstract. And that was the one that like got to me, probably because I'm older than 10, you know. But, you know, I thought that was really interesting. And also, it's such a clearly different illustration style and like a little bit of a writing style as well, you know. So that was quite nice to see that, you know, there was this feeling of like branching out a little bit as
I mean, the good thing about, you know, the way we set up for Amazing Fables is anybody can actually preview the full book first before ordering, right? So they can really visualize what is the message as well as, you know, how is the message being conveyed. So I think it's very important so that, you know, a person can actually gauge the quality of the product
prior
to ordering.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, it's time for a short break now for some music. But after that, I'll continue speaking to Warren all about Amazing Fables' very unique business model. So do stay tuned to Open for Business for more of that conversation on BFM 89.9.
Building Future Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Open for Business here on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and before the break, I was speaking to Warren Liao all about the idea behind his company, Amazing Fables, which basically customizes books at the moment, gauging towards children. But now I kind of like to discuss the fact that you have a really interesting business model, a pretty unique one, because I think by the very nature of the fact that everything is customizable, you have a print-on-demand sort of basis. So, you know, talk to me about that. You know, how do you make that work?
So, and one of the reasons why I chose this business model as well is, you know, because of several factors.
Right.
Number one is, you know, everything can be outsourced nowadays using a combination of technology and value chain optimization. So, for example, how it works is that, you know, if an order is routed through my site, what it does is that, you know, it triggers a file to be sent over to a printing partner. So I've got printing partners in the US, in the UK, in Australia, as well as in Malaysia.
Okay.
So in Malaysia, for example, you know, my girlfriend from Photobook has been very supportive and they would print and they would help me ship and fulfill at the same time.
Right.
So what does that imply? That implies, number one, because it's a print-on-demand product, I have zero inventory. So I don't really have working capital locked up in a massive way because I don't need to keep stock. Second thing is that, you know, the printing, fulfillment and shipping can be outsourced so that I don't have to be involved in the actual physical fulfillment process itself, right? So this means that, you know, I can focus most of my time on content production, on the product itself, as well as the marketing that's required to build up brand awareness.
Oh, wow. You know, I think that's really interesting. And you know, that's a really fair point. Not all companies can do that, but the fact that you can kind of outsource a lot of the, I guess the grunt work in a way, right? The physical stuff, you know, really allows you to focus on a lot of the, I guess, soft skill based part of the business.
Yes. So I think, you know, you also, if you take a step back, it's also related to the way the new economy actually works.
Oh, yeah.
Right. In a sense that, you know, You know, I've got a very, very small team working on Amazing Fables, mm-hmm. right? And we were able to do everything, you know, with the three of us being on it on a part-time basis. Mm-hmm. I've got a day job, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you a little bit more about it. the reason why we could produce so many books and get so much done is because, you know, we could outsource it globally.
Right.
Through platforms like Fiverr.com, where I can find freelancers who help out with search engine optimization, who will help out with illustrations, who will help out with but ghostwriting, who might help with a little bit of marketing and link building, etc. Right, similarly, you know, when it comes to the printing and shipping, you know, it can be outsourced to those who actually have the necessary machinery,
right,
and the right setup. So this frees me up from actually having to allocate a lot of capital expenditure to buy my own printers, for example, before I can even explore this business model.
Because I was actually about to ask the next thing after printing was shipping, because you ship to more than 15 different countries. But it kind of makes sense that if you have, you know, printing available in, what was it, the US, UK, Australia, and here?
Yep.
Yeah.
So basically, we've shipped to more than 15 countries, about 20 countries right now.
Yeah, okay,
so
great.
This will include the US, a lot of European countries, a lot of Southeast Asian countries, and even Israel.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
We had an order that they came through the other day, right? And I think, you know, essentially, you know, the global supply chain is getting more and more efficient,
mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to cross-border. Mm-hmm. It's still very expensive, don't get me wrong. But nonetheless, you know, there is more and more demand for cross-border shipping.
Right.
Right? And these printers principally do focus on printing photo books, for example, and then shipping to the end customer.
Right.
So they already have the process set up.
Okay.
Meaning that, you know, for me to tap onto them, it's about, you know, them optimizing the spare capacity that they have when it comes to their own process and setup.
I see.
It's also a way for them to diversify their own revenue stream.
Okay, interesting. Right. And Amazing Fables is 100% bootstrapped. Sounds like a very fun time, right? So, you know, what was that like and what were some of the kind of challenges that you faced?
So, the third reason why I chose this business model was because it doesn't require that much capital on a relative basis.
Yeah,
but nonetheless, you know, it's still a modest amount, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, regardless of whatever business that you want to start, you need to have an initial investment, so to speak.
Yes.
But relatively speaking, you know, it's still less than, let's say, for example, opening up a restaurant. And thankfully, you know, my employer, my boss has been you know, very supportive, so he allows me to do something outside of my office hours,
mm-hmm.
And so I'm able to finance everything through my own savings. And I think bootstrapping has its own pros and cons.
Right.
You know, I was a very big part of the whole startup ecosystem, and I deal with a lot of founders who actually raise quite a bit of money here.
Yeah.
And there, right. You know, if I were to contrast it with the story of you know, my boss, for example, at Imagine Group, who bootstrapped the company along with his co-founder and wife,
mm-hmm.
Stephanie, they basically inspired me to think, hey, you know, I think it might be better for me to be able to hold the destiny in my own hands,
right,
rather than being answerable to external investors and stakeholders, right? I've got multiple offers of investments here and there, but for me, you know, because there isn't really that much of a need yet.
Mm.
Yeah. Neither is it a do or die situation where, you know, if no investment comes in, the whole business is going to die, right? So therefore, you know, I've set the path to actually bootstrap it to the point of profitability and build a real sustainable business out of it.
I guess you do have a lot more control, right? I guess when you don't have to rely on pleasing investors and stuff like that.
Exactly, right? I have a lot more control. I can decide on things strategically.
Mm.
I don't have to spend that much time managing different stakeholders.
Okay.
So if you're a startup and you have, you know, 15, 20 different investors, right? Depending on the investors themselves, you know, I don't think it's a very efficient way to actually spend too much time managing stakeholders. In comparison to investing into product and investing into sales.
Right. You just spend a lot of time trying to please other people and then you can't really focus on the quality of your content.
I think there are pros and cons. I mean, if you take external financing, for example, your growth path might be a bit faster.
Fair enough.
Right? Because you know, you have more resources and more firepower to deploy. It's just you know, a different question of balancing on where exactly the priorities are for the time being.
Just a different pace, I guess, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm.
So even if I were to get a $10 million injection right now, I wouldn't really know how to spend the money. So my main competitor in the UK has actually raised $20 million.
Okay, right? Fair enough.
And they've been around for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
But as things stand right now, I probably have the second largest portfolio of premium personalized books globally around.
Wow, that is incredible. And that is specifically incredible because you launched in June 2018. So, you know, since then, you have managed to grow, you know, Amazing Fables to this point. But what are some of maybe the other highlights that we might not be able to Google, I suppose, for Amazing Fables?
So I think, you know, what I've realized, you know, doing this is, you know, it's relatively easy to create a product,
mm-hmm.
relatively easy to find a certain product market fit. But, you know, the hidden question in the whole equation is more about the cost of marketing. Because the cost of marketing is very expensive nowadays, right? To put things in perspective, you know, my competitor is spending about, you know, $80, $90 US to acquire a paying customer, right? At the moment, you know, my numbers are not too far off from it, but it's an investment, and I'm able to drive it down through, I guess, growth hacking and more organic reach, right? But in any business, when you first started off, it's important to invest into brand awareness. Because if nobody knows about the product, even if the product is excellent,
they can't buy it.
They can't buy it, exactly, right? So that's the principal thing. You know, if you're talking about, let's say, putting 100% of effort into a project, 50% will be on product, 50% should be on marketing, really.
Interesting. All right. Well, that sounds great. And, you know, from what I can, I mean, what have you been roughly like your number so far in terms of like how many books you've managed to sell?
So, yeah, I mean, we've just managed to breach, you know, critical mass to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in December last year, because of the holiday season, we were able to sell nearly 200 books. So all in all, you know, my target is to be able to breach the 1,000 book mark quite quickly.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, really, I guess the next question is, I mean, what's next for Amazing Fables?
So we have launched a new product innovation parts of the whole website, right? So for example, you can generate a video book. So
okay.
If you enter your name, Christine, into you know, the site, you'll be able to download a video book where the whole story is read to you by a machine, right? So it still sounds a little bit robotic, but it's good enough.
All
and
right.
It's going to continue to improve, right? And it's based on Amazon technology. So so it's a custom book that you can actually download and play on your phone, right? For yourself, for your kids, for your nieces and nephews and your friends' kids, right? So that's the other way to actually add more value to the whole thing, right? So that's one part. The second part is really to add on more titles because at the end, it's a portfolio play.
Yeah.
So we are launching books for targeting the Muslim market. We are launching books, you know, which are a little bit more local. And would have different segments. So I've got books on dinosaurs. I've got books on different countries around the world. I've got books on, you know, how should a well-behaved boy or girl behave? You know, for example, respecting the elders, teaching them good values.
What we learned in moral class, guys.
I think, you know, it'll be probably a lot more useful than what we learned in moral class, right? At least it's not measured by an A.
Not hard to be.
So those will be the next steps then. And I think, you know, the third part is to really continue to invest in marketing and brand awareness in order to drive up the word of mouth. The good thing about these books is that, you know, it's naturally something where it's conducive to the word of mouth. Because, you know, when parents get it for the kids from their relatives or from their friends, right? Naturally, when they think about gifts to give others, right, or something to talk about, say, oh yeah, have you checked out this book where my kid is in the story itself, right? So I'm seeing quite a bit of organic referrals coming through that way.
That's great. And yeah, you know, as you were saying, I think really one of the best ways to describe Amazing Fables is like accessibility, because really you're kind of catering to as much as possible, trying to make a unique experience in that book for every person. Well, that about wraps it up for today's Open for Business. Thank you so much, Warren, for coming in and speaking to us all about Amazing Fables.
Thank you so much, Christine. Right, so if you want to check out the books, it's www.amazingfables.com.
All right. If you've missed any of this interview, you can download our app that's available on the Apple App Store and or Google Play. You can also head over to Spotify because we're such cool kids and we're on there now too. If you're a little bit more old school, head over to our website, bfm.my/podcast, where you can listen to and download the podcast as well. You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.